money spent. I've worked for hours to make a dent. I guess it's anger management. Toy packaging. Nothing makes me lose my cool like toy packaging. Ask the kids, please leave the room. It's time for toy packaging. I'm drawing up a battle plan to extricate this robot man. My self-esteem is in the can. Toy packaging.
Go on to the useless presents. Bags of moist and many colored jelly babies and a folded flag and a false nose and a tram conductor's cap and a machine that punched tickets and rang a bell, never a catapult. Once, by mistake that no one could explain, a little hatchet and a celluloid duck that made, when you pressed it, a most unduck-like sound. A mewing moo that an ambitious cat might make who wished to be a cow. And a painting book in which I could make the grass, the trees, the sea, and the animals any color I pleased. And still the dazzling sky blue sheep are grazing in the red field under the rainbow-billed and pea-green birds. Hard-boileds, toffee, fudge, and all sorts, crunches, cracknels, humbugs, glaciers, marzipan, and butter Welsh for the Welsh, and troops of bright tin soldiers who, if they could not fight, could always run.
Fa-la-la.
La-la.
And snakes and families and happy ladders and easy hobby games for little engineers complete with instructions. Oh, easy for Leonardo. And a whistle to make the dogs bark, to wake up the old man next door, to make him beat on the wall with his stick, to shake our picture off the wall, and a packet of cigarettes. You put one in your mouth, and you stood at the corner of the street and you waited for hours in vain for an old lady to scold you for smoking a cigarette, and then with a smirk, you ate it. And then it was breakfast under the balloons. Uncles, like in our house, there are always uncles at Christmas, the same uncles. And on Christmas morning, with dog-disturbing whistle and sugar fags, I would scour the swathed town for the news of the little world and find always a dead bird by the post office or by the white deserted swings, perhaps a robin, all but one of his fires out. Men and women wading or scooping back from chapel with taproom noses and wind-bust cheeks, all albinos, huddled their stiff black jarring feathers against the irreligious snow. Mistletoe hung from the brackets in all the front parlors. There was sherry and walnuts and bottled beer and crackers by the dessert spoons, and cats in their furabouts watching the fires, and high-heaped fire spat, all ready for the chestnuts and the mulling pokers.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide calves being sung by a choir.
Some few large men sat in the front parlors without their collars, uncles almost certainly, trying their new cigars, holding them out judiciously at arm's length, returning them to their mouths, coughing, then holding them out again as though waiting for the explosion. And some few small aunts, not wanted in the kitchen, nor anywhere else for that matter, sat on the very edge of their chairs, poised and brittle, afraid to break like faded cups and saucers. Not many those mornings trod the piling street. An old man always, fawn bowlered, yellow gloved, and at this time of year, with spats of snow, would take his constitutional to the white bowling green and back, as he would take it wet or fire on Christmas Day or Doomsday. Sometimes two hale young men with big blazing pipes, no overcoats, and windblown scarves would trudge unspeaking down to the forlorn sea to work up an appetite, to blow away the fumes, who knows, to walk into the waves until nothing of them was left but the two furling smoke clouds of their inextinguishable briars. Then I would be slap-dashing home, the gravy smell of the dinners of others, the bird smell, the brandy, the pudding and mints coiling up to my nostrils, when out of a snow-clogged side lane would come a boy, the spit of myself, with a pink-tipped cigarette and the violet past of a black eye, cocky as a bullfinch, leering all to himself. I hated him on sight and sound, and would be about to put my dog whistle to my lips and blow him off the face of Christmas, when suddenly he, with a violet wink, put his whistle to his lips and blew so stridently, so high, so exquisitely loud that gobbling faces, their cheeks bulged with goose, would press against the tinseled windows the whole length of the white echoing street. For dinner, we had turkey and blazing pudding, and after dinner, the uncle sat in front of the fire, loosened all buttons, put their large moist hands over their watch chains, groaned a little, and slept. Mothers, aunts, and sisters scuttled to and fro, bearing tureens. Aunt Bessie, who had already been frightened twice by a clockwork mouse, whimpered at the sideboard and had some elderberry wine. The dog was sick. Auntie Dosie had to have 3 aspirins, but Auntie Hannah, who liked port, stood in the middle of the snowbound backyard, singing like a big-bosomed thrush. To see how big they would blow up to, and when they burst, which they all did, the uncles jumped and rumbled. In the rich and heavy afternoon, the uncles breathing like dolphins and the snow descending, I would sit among festoons and Chinese lanterns and nibble dates and try to make a model man-o-war, following the instructions for little engineers, and produce what might be mistaken for a sea-going tram car. Or I would go out, my bright new boots, squeaking into the white world, onto the seaward hill, to call on Jim and Dan and Jack, and to pad through the still streets, leaving huge footprints on the hidden pavements. I bet people will think there's been hippos. What would you do if you saw a hippo coming down the street? I'd go like this, bang! I'd throw him over the railings and roll him down the hill, and then I'd tickle him under the ear and he'd wag his tail. What would you do if you saw 2 hippos?
Santa Claus, you'll mind who you are. for him in our two-car garage. I feed him there and wash him there and give him his massage.
I can see me now on Christmas morning, creeping down the stairs. Oh, joy and not surprise when I open up my eyes to see a
hippo hero standing there.
I'm on a hippopotamus for Christmas. A hippo, only a hippopotamus.
Hippopotamus. No crocodiles, no rhinoceroses. I only like hippopotamuses. Hippopotamuses like me too.
Iron-flanked and bellowing he-hippos clanked and battered the scudding snow toward us as we passed Mr. Daniel's house. Let's post Mr. Daniel a snowball through his letterbox. Let's write things in the snow. Let's write, Mr. Daniel looks like a spaniel all over his lawn. Or we walked on the white shore. Can the fish see if it's snowing? The silent one clouded heavens drifted onto the sea. Now we were snowblind travelers lost on the north hills, and vast dewlap dogs with flasks from their necks ambled and shambled up to us baying, Excelsior! We returned home through the poor streets where only a few children fumbled with bare red fingers in the wheel-rutted snow and catcalled after us, their voices fading away as we trudged uphill into the cries of the dock birds and the hooting of ships out in the whirling bay. And then at tea, the recovered uncles would be jolly, and the iced cake loomed in the center of the table like a marble grave. Auntie Hannah laced her tea with rum because it was only once a year. Told by the fire as the gaslight bubbled like a diver. Ghosts wooed like owls in the long nights when I dared not look over my shoulder. Animals lurked in the cubbyhole under the stairs and the gas meter ticked. And I remember that we went singing carolers once when there wasn't the shaving of a moon to light the flying streets. At the end of a long road was a drive that led to a large house, and we stumbled up the darkness of the drive that night, each one of us afraid, each one holding a stone in his hand in case, and all of us too brave to say a word. The wind through the trees made noises as of old and unpleasant, and maybe webbed-footed men wheezing in caves. We reach the black hulk of the house. What shall we give them? Hark the herald? No, said Jack. Good King Wenceslaus, I'll count three. One, two, three, and we began to sing. Our voices high and seemingly distant in the snow-felted darkness around the house that was occupied by, we didn't know. We stood close together, near the dark door. And then a small, dry voice, like the voice of someone who has not spoken for a long time, joined our singing, a small, dry, eggshell voice from the other side of the door, a small, dry voice through the keyhole.
Hither, page, and stand by me, if thou knowst it telling, yonder peasant, who is he, where and what his dwelling?
And when we stopped running, we were outside our house. The front room was lovely. Balloons floated under the hot water bottle, gulping gas. Everything was good again and shone over the town. Perhaps it was a ghost, Jim said. Perhaps it was trolls, Dan said, who was always reading. Let's go inside and see if there's any jelly left, Jack said. And we did that. Always on Christmas night, there was music. An uncle played the fiddle. A cousin sang Cherry Ripe.
Cherry ripe, cherry ripe, ripe, I cry, for the fair ones come and die. Cherry ripe, ripe, I cry, for the fair ones come and die.
And another uncle sang Drake's Drum.
Drake is in his hammock and a thousand miles away. Captain of the sleeping bear below.
It was very warm in the little house. Auntie Hannah, who had got onto the parsnip wine, sang a song about bleeding hearts and death, and then another in which she said her heart was like a bird's nest, and then everybody laughed again, and then I went to bed. Looking through my bedroom window, out into the moonlight and the unending smoke-colored snow, I could see the lights in the windows of all the other houses on our hill and hear the music rising from them up the long, steady, falling night. I turned the gas down. I got into bed. I said some words to the close and holy darkness, and then I slept.
It was bless you.